Been my prayer all night as I was awake, studying and praying and seeking God's face. I'm glad to come into a service where the Holy Spirit is here. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad we ain't got some dried up, dead old religion. We got the Holy Ghost. We got that blood bought religion. Amen. If you've been bought, you ain't been bought by the blood of bulls and goats. You ain't been bought by man's blood. It wasn't somebody Adam's blood. It was the blood of God. He said he purchased the church with his own blood. Who? That's God Almighty. He purchased the church. Amen. I'm glad for the blood today. Now, church, I count it an honor to stand here before you this day. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 85 and verse number 6. Psalm 85 and verse number 6, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Out of honor and reverence, I prayed and I asked God, I said, God, I need you to confirm my message to me this morning. Those of you who know the Bible, you know where we're at this morning. And my little boy, Josiah, walks up to me and he hands me this and he says, here, Daddy. Just out of nowhere, just hands me this. It says, obstacles to revival. And my message this morning is on revival this morning. Amen. I don't know where he got this, who handed it to him, if he went and got it in the lobby or something like that. But I'm glad to know that God is in the business of confirming the message for his man today. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 85 and verse number 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Yes. Verse 7, shew us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you now. Lord, thank you for the blood. Yes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this service today, Lord. God, I thank you that you use the weak and beggarly things. I'm honored and privileged to stand here before these people today, Lord, knowing that you're using the lesser to instruct the greater. Knowing that all these people are greater than I am, Lord, but you've set me aside for a purpose today, and Lord, I pray that you'd use me now. Pour me out like a pitcher that I might be able to edify the brethren and touch those hearts of those that are lost, that they might be born again. Father, we pray that you'd touch us now in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. Beloved, I'm not here this morning to engage your emotions or your feelings, but it's okay if you have some. I'm not here this morning to engage your intellect. I don't want you to just be thinking the whole time. I want to do something greater than that. I want to touch you deeper. I want to touch your soul. With the help of the Holy Ghost, that's what I plan to do this morning. I want to reach you down in the very depths of your innermost being. I want to touch you there. I want you to have a burning desire by the end of this service. I don't want you to go out of here the way you came in. I don't want to go out of here the way that I came in. I want to go out here more on fire for God. I don't want to just be having an emotional, cathartic experience. I want to be overflowing and filled up with the Spirit of God. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, we can have that today. But church, we've got some trouble in our world. We live in a culture that is full of filth. Amen? We live in a culture that doesn't bat an eye at murdering babies. We live in a culture that will cut your throat to get to the highest points of fame and wealth and riches and all of these things. And they don't care about you. They don't care one whit about your children. We've got the school boards in this country. They're teaching your children that they can be boys or girls. Whatever they want to be, they can be that. Or they don't have to be a boy or a girl. They can be a nothing. They can be a they. Or this or that or an it. It doesn't matter. That's what they're teaching your children. This culture is wicked and vile. We live in a culture that embraces pornography. It's not no longer is it on the late night TV shows. No longer is it in the secret bookstores. They're flamboyant about it, church. They're raving about it. They're enjoying it. And they love pushing upon you. They love pushing upon your children. We live in a culture that is vile and disgusting and filthy and wicked. But I tell you what, frankly, the same thing can be said about much of what calls itself the church today. That can be said about much of what calls itself the church today. The liberal church this day, they don't care about babies. They don't care about babies being murdered and slaughtered. We got little babies around this church. You're going around raising money for life so that we can help save lives of these babies. And they'll laugh and they'll mock and they'll scorn. The liberals will. The mockers of God, they'll laugh and they'll deny. And they'll say, you only care about babies being born. You don't care after they're born. You don't care about what kind of a life they live. I care about them all, church. If I could adopt every one of them, I would, church. If I could take them in my home, in my arms, and save a baby from being murdered by its mother and some wicked doctor, I would. But church, that's the job of God, to put it in our hearts, to have a desire to help reach those people. But I'm not talking to the culture of America in 2022 this morning. Church, I'm not talking to the White House this morning. I don't have the governor's ear this morning. I'm talking to Temple Baptist Church. That's who I'm talking to this morning. I want this to hit home for us, church. I'm talking to every soul that sits on a pew here this morning. I'm talking to my soul. I'm talking to me, church. We need this, church. We don't need to be dead and dry and plucked up by the roots. We need to have some fire. We need to have some zeal. We need to have some desire in our heart, a burning desire. And I tell you, if you'll listen to what I'm going to say this morning, some of you might get angry. Some of you are going to get cut by the word. Some of you are going to leave here mad if you leave in the flesh. But I tell you, if you'll take some time and you'll lend your ear unto me, I'm going to give you something that'll help you, church. It's not because of me. It's not some great formula that I came up with. It's coming from the Bible, church. We need the Bible. Amen. That's what we need. What can help me, preacher? What kind of help can I get? I'll tell you what kind of help you can get. You can get victory over your sin, friend. You can get victory over your suffering. You can get victory over yourself. You can overcome yourself and your own desires, and you can get on fire for God. You can get your joy back, church. That's what revival's about. Revival's about getting your joy back. Some of you are so dry and your faces are so plumb this morning. You just look sad and you look broken. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good place to be. Being broken is a good place to be. I'm not talking about a one-off emotional experience where we have some big name evangelist come through. I'm talking about lasting joy, church. When's the last time you had joy? When's the last time? Consider that this morning. When is the last time that you really had joy? When's the last time you had joy unspeakable and full of glory? When's the last time you basked in the glory of your God and your Maker? When's the last time you were drinking from your saucer because your cup was overflown? When's the last time that you really enjoyed the presence of God? When was it, church? It's been a while for me now, church. I was enjoying His presence in the wee hours of the morning today. I was enjoying His presence late last night. But I want to get closer to Him, church. That's our problem. We're not close to God. You say, I don't have revival right now. Well, I tell you what, there's an opportunity today. If you'll just look up, we don't need the latest in pop psychology, friend. I'm not here to offer you that. We don't need some self-help seminar. We need the Bible, church. We need the book of God. He said, bring the book, all right? He didn't say, bring the man. He said, bring the book, all right? That's what we need. We need the Spirit of God in here. We need it flowing from the one pew to the next, from the pulpit to the parking lot. That's what we need, friend. We need an anointing and an from on high, not just a Sunday buzz. Some of y'all come in here and you get your Sunday buzz and you don't have to come back till next Sunday. Here's where it's going to cut a little bit. Some of y'all get here on Sunday and you're good for the week. Now I understand some of y'all got jobs, you got obligations. Some of you drive real far and you can't get here every service, but some of you just skipping on Sunday night and Wednesday night because it's not convenient for you. That's what the church these days wants. We want convenient services. We want internet services. They got this metaverse now and they're having meta church. I tell you what, that ain't the church. Saints, that ain't the assembling of the saints of God. That ain't us coming together and worshiping God Almighty in spirit and in truth. That's what we need to be doing, church. We need that. We need a lasting engagement of the heart with the glory of God. We need to be in the presence of God. We need revival, church. I know that some of us have grown up in this church. I grew up in this church. I've got friends here, brothers and sisters in Christ, who grew up in this church, and our parents were members of this church long before we were here, and they've had revivals here. You've had revivals here preached by great men of God. Brother Ed Ballou, Brother J. Harold Smith. You got men like Reuben Fields. You got men like Buster Seaton and Randy Pike, and our pastors preach revival meetings. But how long has it been since you have had a revival break out in your very soul? I'm not talking about a scheduled set of meetings. I'm talking about a fire and shot up in your bones, church. That's what we need today. We need that now. I need it. I need it. You may not need it. You may be spiritual enough that you don't need revival. You may be happy just and content with your status in your Christian walk. But I tell you, you don't have to be. You don't have to be content. You can seek more. You can get closer to God. I'm not talking about a set of meetings that come and go. I'm not talking about something that's established by man. I'm talking about the wind of revival, church. Do you feel it today? Maybe you don't. Lord, I pray that you take out every demon of hell that's trying to come against this message. Father, I pray that you would, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord God, I plead the blood against it. Father, I pray that you'd stir up your people. You'd bring to remembrance some things in their soul, Lord God. I pray that you'd bring to remembrance the former things. Help us to seek your face now, Father. I don't want to be a stumbling block. Lord, they're not here to see me. Hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind the blood. Hide me behind your word, God. If there could be a pillar of your glory, a cloud of your glory to cover me this morning, I'd be happy with that, Father. I'd be happy with that if they could but see you. If they could but see Jesus crucified, resurrected, reigning in heaven, mediating on our behalf in the presence of you, Father. Lord, I want that now. Lord, we ask it in Christ's name. I don't know what that was, but I had to rebuke that. There's something in this this house that's coming against this message. There's something in this house that's coming against God's word. Something in this house that's coming against God's man. But I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's gone. It's gone, church. I feel that burden lifted off of me today. Now, what we don't want is just a one-off event, church. That's not what we want. That's not what we want. Revival used to shut down bars, church. That's the truth. Revival used to shut down dens of iniquity. It used to shut down whorehouses. It used to shut down gentlemen, quote unquote, gentlemen's clubs. Amen. That's what revival used to do. Revival nowadays is used as an opportunity, just for somebody to get an opportunity to come in and have a good time, and we can clap and we can sing and we can have a few tears. But that's not what revival's about, church. Revival is about the soul. Revival's about your soul. God wants to deal with your soul. You get your soul straightened out and you'll deal with all the other things on the outside. Amen. That's what you need. Some of you are struggling and you need the inside dealt with so that the outside can be right. Amen. That's the truth. Revival used to create a wake left in the community that was not unfelt by anybody. Let me say that again. Revival used to create a wake in the community that was not unfelt by anybody. Nobody was unaware of the presence of God in the community when revival used to hit. Amen. I'm talking about meetings that went on for weeks. I'm talking about meetings. And you say, well, you're just trying to stir us up, preacher. You're just trying to get us all excited. No, I want to touch your soul. I don't want you just to come for a meeting just to be at a meeting. I want you to come to a meeting because you want to be with the saints of God. I want you to come to a meeting because you want to get close to God. You say, do I have to come to church to get close to God? No, but I tell you what, being with the saints of God, what does it say when the saints gather? When we worship, that is the dwelling of God. That is the presence of God when we worship. Amen. And that's what we need. Revival used to go through a community and leave no soul untouched. It used to take the dirtiest, low-down, rotten, wretched sinner, and they'd have him in the neighborhood, and the church would get together and they would pray for him. They'd take that dirty, old, rotten, low-down sinner, and he'd be on the altar crying by the end of the meeting. He'd be on the altar crying and begging God, saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what we need, church. That's what we need. We need revival for the lost. We need revival for ourselves, but we need it for the lost. You know, we've designed revival meetings just to be evangelistic meetings. They're no longer about the church. They're just about getting people saved. Bring everybody that you know that's lost. That's good. Amen. We ought to get the lost in the house of God to hear the word of God, that they might get under the word of God, that they might get saved by the God of the word. Amen. That's what we need. That's good. But revival is about you, church. You born again, revival's about you today. It's about you. It's about you. Your lost loved ones, they're important. Your lost neighbors, your lost co-workers, they're important. But revival is about you, church. You get you right, and then God will deal with your lost loved ones. God will deal with your lost neighbors, your lost co-workers. You know how? Oh, well, it'd just be miraculous. You get revived, and then all of a sudden they'll get saved. No, no, no. No, sir, that's not how it happens. No, God will stir you up, and you won't be able to shut up about Jesus Christ. God will stir you up, and you won't be able to go a day without praying for the people you love that are lost. God will stir you up, and you won't be able to stop weeping and crying and agonizing over the people you love that are going to hell, friend. They're going to hell. People you know that you love are going to hell, and they'll go to hell because God hadn't stirred you up yet, right? No, 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 no. But God will use you. God will use you. It ain't about the man. It ain't about you, church, but it's about God Almighty. But do you want to be a vessel for God's righteous glory, or do you want to be a vessel for God's wrath? Do you want to allow people to be vessels of God's wrath, or do you want to allow people to be vessels of God's glory? Which one will you be today, friend? Which one will you be? Will you be a son, or will you be a bastard? Indeed, which one will you be? I was listening to What Feels Like Only a Dream as I was listening to that old preacher, Paisley. Some of y'all know the old preacher, Paisley. Some of you young people don't know a single name that I've named. Ed Ballou, maybe some of you have heard it because it's said from the pulpit from time to time. But some of you don't know about the old paths, amen? Some of you have no clue. All you've known is this church that you've been in, and you don't understand what has happened before in the years bygone. And it's just something unknown to you. But I tell you what, I was listening to that old preacher, Paisley, and he spoke about the concentrated prayer of a revived church. You hear me, church? The concentrated prayer. I'm not talking about prayer meetings where you come in and you say the same thing over and over. I'm not talking about just a religious show where you just pray the same thing over and over. I'm talking about a heart broken for lost souls. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about concentrated prayer. He said he took that church of 60 people and he ran off 30 people and had down to 30 people. And he said, listen, let's open all the windows. Let's open all all the doors. Let's open everything up. Anybody else who wants to get on out of here, anybody else who's tired of this preacher, can just go. We can open the doors right now. You don't like the preaching, you can just walk out. I'll sing the doxology, he said, while you go. Everything will be just fine. We'll sing the closing hymn as you leave on out. But that's what he said. But he said, no, they stayed. Those 30 people stayed. And what happened to those 30 people? They got on fire for God. They got revived. They were awakened. They were stirred up. They were fired up for God. And what happened now? Oh, they began to pray. They began to pray for every lost sinner that they knew. They began to pray hard. They began to seek out those that were the most wicked and vile sinners in their community. They began to seek out the most wicked and vile members of their family. And they focused, they concentrated prayer on those people. And guess what happened? They got born again. Now, that wasn't a part of the revival meeting. That was the fruit of revival. The fruit of revival is a burden built into the people of God, stirred up by the Holy Ghost of God, that is praying people into heaven. Now, what do I mean? I don't mean that you can just pray into heaven and everything will be all right. I mean people who are broken and they're seeking souls that would be saved. Amen. Do you have that burden? Some of you don't have that burden. Some of you don't care. You don't care one whit if anybody goes to hell. You don't care if your neighbor goes to hell. You don't care if your brother goes to hell, if your sister goes to hell. You don't care if your mom and your dad go to hell. You don't care. You don't care. Well, I tell you what, folks, you got a problem. You need to check your heart right now. You don't care about lost souls. You need to check your heart right now. You need to check your heart right now. Some of you are counting on the Wednesday night crowd to do it. Boy, it got real quiet in here. Some of you are counting on the Wednesday night crowd to pray in revival. Some of you are counting on the Wednesday night crowd to get a heart of repentance and get revival stirred up. Some of you are counting on the Wednesday night crowd to make everything go along with the church. You know, what calls itself the church these days has gone ahead and decided we don't need Sunday nights. We don't need Wednesday nights. Amen? That's what they've decided. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. Is that what they've decided? Some of you in this church have decided we don't need Sunday nights. We don't need Wednesday nights. We don't need it. Now, oh, here we go. The preacher's just being mean. And he's just harping on a hobby horse. No, I'm telling you, church, we need to assemble with the saints. Amen. We need to assemble. We do not need to forsake the assembling together of the saints. We need to get together the more and more as we see the day approaching. That book of Hebrews says that's what we need to do. But none of this will come until we repent. None of this will come until we repent. We need to be like the man of the pool of Bethesda. Amen, church. John chapter 5 and verse 5. If you want to turn there, that's fine. We need to openly confess our problem. We need to openly confess our problem. Now, I'm not talking about to me. I'm not talking to Preacher Lawson. I'm not talking to Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. I'm saying we need to openly confess our problem to the one who can help. We need to get real with God, church. Some of you ain't been real with God in a long time. You've got your fancy prayers, as the pastor says, and they're the best prayers you ever prayed in your life, but that you ain't talking to God. You're talking to yourself. You're like that Pharisee over there in the temple. What did that Pharisee do? He's over there praying thus with himself. Head held high. He's leaning so far back, you think he's about to sneeze, amen? He ain't doing nothing but talking to himself. Some of you talking to yourself. You ain't praying to God. You ain't praying to God. That man at the pool of Bethesda, it says in John 5, in verse 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, Jesus sees your condition, friend. Jesus sees your condition, you that are lying down, you that are broken, you that are impotent. He knew that he had been there a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Amen, church. That's a good question, right? That seems like a radical question, though. As sometimes some of you might think it seems like a foolish question. But the fact of the matter is that some people in that position, some people there at the pool of Bethesda were content being crippled. Some people there at the pool of Bethesda, they were content being blind. Some people there at the pool of Bethesda, they were content being lame. They were content. They were like, they just given up. That's all right. That's what my life is. That's just how it's going to be. Some of you are content being spiritually crippled. Amen. Some of you are content not having any fire in your bones. Some of you are content not rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are content not having any more joy. I tell you, church, I ain't content no more. I ain't content no more. I want to be on fire for God, church. And I want this church on fire for God. Some of you are content. You're just content to be a child without fellowship. You're content to be a child without a prayer life. You're content to be a child without any service. If that's you, you need something. This man, he wasn't content. He knew what he needed. Notice this, verse 7 of John chapter number 5. The impotent man answered him. The Lord had said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him. And I'm going to get some deep theology right here. We're going to wade real deep here real quick. The impotent man answered. He said the most obvious thing you can think of. "Sir, I have no man." Yeah. "Sir, I have no man." What does that tell you? There's some deep theology in that. What does that tell you? Well, that tells you that that man knew that he could not pick himself up. That man knew that he could not pick himself up any more than he could heal himself by his own power. He knew that he needed a man to get him to God's appointed place of healing. You say, can a man bring revival? Not without God. No man's going to bring revival without God. The man will be a vessel, but no man's going to bring it. He ain't going to bring it. No man can bring revival with his instruments. He won't bring it with his PA system. He won't bring it with his eloquence. He won't bring it with his trailer or with his tent. He won't bring it with his choir. He won't bring it with anything that he can do. He can't do it, but God can take a poor, lowly sinner man who he saved by the grace of God. He can birth him into the family of God. He can put a fire in his bones, and he can call the church to repentance and say, "Church, you need to get on your face before God. You need to cry out to God. Because you lost something." We've lost something, church. We need to take it. We need to take it back. No, sir. A man won't bring revival, but God can bring revival through his man. Maybe today is that day for Temple Baptist Church. Some of you are fighting against it. Some of you are wondering, when am I going to get to the buffet? Amen. That's what you're wondering. That's all you care about. Some of you are wondering about the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's today or the championship game or whatever may be going on. That's what you're worried about. That's all you care about is the things of this world. You're worried about how you're going to update your social media. You got to make sure you dress real nice so you can get that social media pic. I tell you what, if you'd update who's on the throne of your heart, you wouldn't have to worry about social media, amen? You wouldn't have to worry about how you can present yourself to the world. If you worried about how you present yourself to God, everything else will take care of itself, church. That's what we need. Maybe today is the day that God will manifest himself in this church in a way that I haven't seen in some time. Now, we've had some good meetings, church, amen? Amen. We've had some good meetings. 2018, we had a revival meeting here. It was good. The Lord was in it. The Lord was moving, but I'm afraid that we didn't get fully set on fire, church. I'm not knocking that preacher. I'm not knocking that meeting. I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm just saying, church, where has our fire gone? The world's trying to cut it out. The devil's trying to cut it out with COVID. Amen. He's trying to get us all tired and get us all wore out, get us all scared to fellowship, get together. I mean, I tell you what, I ain't seen such a scared bunch in all my life as I've seen with this COVID. We're terrified, but I'm glad to see that y'all ain't terrified. You're at church this morning, amen? Amen? You ain't worried about that virus. Now, we ought to be wise about it. I'm saying we ought to be wise about it. There's a danger there. But I tell you what, you ought to trust God, amen? You ought to trust God. You ought to meet with God's people, amen? That man at the pool of Bethesda, he needed a man. That man at the pool of Bethesda, he needed a man. A man is worth nothing if God ain't in him, though. But guess what? Here's the beauty of that. You need a man. That's a lesson for us. You need a man, church. Now, I'm not talking about a preacher man. I'm not talking about the deacon, church. I'm not talking about your usher. I'm not talking about your daddy or your granddaddy. I'm talking about the God man. That's the man we need, church. That's the man I need. That's the man we need filling our souls today. That's what we need. He said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Guess what? You don't need the pool today. You don't need to step up and go to the pool today. That's all right. Get on an old-fashioned altar and cry out to God. That's all right, but you don't need to step in the pool today because the God man's here, amen? The Holy Ghost is here. He's ready to fill you up. He's ready to touch you, amen? You don't need to step in the pool. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Church, we don't need to have a scheduled meeting. It can start today, right here. Some of us, we're scheming and we're trying to help God and we're trying to fix God up and make sure that God don't mess up. We've got to schedule these meetings, right? That's what we got to do. We just got to get everything in order for God so that God don't, you know, he doesn't have any obstacles. I tell you what, the only obstacle that's come between you and revival right now is your sin. Your sin is what's separating between you and your God, amen? That's what you need to take care of today. You don't need to schedule a meeting. You need to get on your face with God, amen? That's what we need. The Lord Jesus Christ asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" I'm here to ask you today, church, wilt thou be revived? Wilt thou be revived? God is here. He's willing. Are you? I mean, He's willing. He's able. He's abundantly able. He's got mercy every morning. He's got grace for grace, faith for faith. I mean, He's there. He's present. You think He's weak? He can do it, church. Will you? Will you? Yes, preacher, that's what you say. Why not have revival then? Why not? Why not? You say, how? How, preacher? Just tell us how. Well, you tell me the why and I'll tell you the how. You tell me the why and I'll tell you how. Some of you want revival because you're bored. Some of you are just bored with church. That's all. You're bored with church. You think a revival will get you excited again, church. That's some of you people are just bored with church. That's why you don't show up on Sunday night. That's why you don't show up on Wednesday night. So for those of you that could get here, the reason you're not here is because you're bored. You need to make the show on Sunday so that people, you keep this facade of Christianity up. You keep this facade up and everybody sees you look nice on Sunday and they recognize, oh yes, they're in good fellowship with God. Amen. Yes, that's a good noble brother there. That's a good noble sister. What a sweet person of God. Some of you are just bored with church though. Some of you, that's why you want revival. You want revival because you're bored. That's the wrong reason to want revival, church. Some of you want revival so you can tell everyone about the great work of God at your church. I mean your church. Emphasis, church, on your church. It's your church. It's your pride and joy. That's your preacher. Amen. It's a good preacher we got, right? It's church, good church we got, right? Amen. But some of you just want bragging rights for your church. You want to be able to say, we had this many walk the aisle. You want to be able to say, we had this many show up to revival meeting. That's what you want to say. That's all you care about is bragging rights. That's the wrong way to do it, friend. That won't bring revival. Some of you want revival here because you think other people need God's help. You're just watching everybody else and you say, oh, sister so-and-so, oh, Lord, she needs God help. I mean, I tell you what, if I could help her, I would, but it's beyond me. She needs God to intervene. Oh, brother so-and-so, Lord just knows he needs God's help and you're worried about everybody else. That ain't why revival's going to come. Revival ain't going to come because you're worried about everybody else. You better worry about yourself. My sister says that all the time. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. You need to worry about yourself today, church. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't look over at your wife. Don't look over at your husband. Worry about yourself. Don't get confused and concerned about your kids. Don't think that they're the problem. That's not the hindrance of revival. You are, friend. I'm the hindrance of revival. You're the hindrance of revival. We need to deal with self, church. That's what we need to do. We need to do that. Some of you are just seeking, like I said, that cathartic experience. Some of you just want to have an emotional let out. Some of you just want to have a good cry. Some of you just want to go out and get all your baggage laid out on the altar just so you can just gently pick it up and draw it right back out with you. That's all you want. You just want to have a good cry. You just need to get it out, you know. You're so wound up with the things of the world. And you're so distressed by things. COVID's got you down. Your kids got you down. Your husband got you down. Your wife got you down. You didn't get the raise. You didn't get the car. You didn't get the house. Nobody cares about any of that. God don't care. God cares about your soul, church. And that's what you need to worry about. You just want some cathartic experience. You're worried about your emotions, your feelings. I tell you what, if you deal with the soul, your feelings will follow. You deal with the soul. In plain words, you want to be emotionally emptied out. That's not what you need, church. You need to be spiritually filled up, church. That's what we need. That's what I need, church. We have generations that have been coming up that have never seen really Holy Ghost, real Holy Ghost filled revival. Some of you got kids, never been to a revival. I'm talking about a revival meeting where people are broken. I'm not talking about a revival meeting where everybody's standing up shouting, woo, it's like a Pentecostal regular Sunday worship service. That's what we think revival is when we act like the charismatics, how they act every Sunday. We think that's revival for us. That ain't revival. We think a singing service is revival. That ain't revival. I've heard preachers brag about how all of a sudden, oh, the Holy Spirit moved in and we sang 20 songs and we had a couple people give testimony. Nothing wrong with singing. I love singing. Nothing wrong with testimony. I love testimony. But I tell you what, until the preaching of God's word happens, you ain't having a meeting. Until the book is open, you ain't having a meeting. Until the word of God is proclaimed, you ain't having a meeting. That's what we need, church. That's what we need. We need real Holy Ghost filled revival. These young people, they haven't seen their parents bowed down on the altar. They haven't seen them bowing the altar. I mean, talking about the altar feeling like it's going to break from the weight of the mommies and daddies crying out, the grandmas and granddads crying out. They haven't seen these young men, these young women on the altar begging for God to help them, crying out to God, help me, I need your help, Lord. They haven't seen that. They haven't seen it. it in a long time. Oh, they've seen camp meetings. That's good. I love a good camp meeting. Amen. But when is it going to happen in the church? It can happen in Temple Baptist Church. Amen. Will you throw away all your dignity and all your piety, and will you cry out to God today? That's what we need, church. Why ain't it coming? Some of you are entrenched in your sin. Some of you are so overcome by your sin and you can't escape it. I tell you what, don't plan on escaping it all by yourself anyways. I met a young man last night. My kids went to a birthday party and I had to study. And I went over, you know, when you take your kids to a birthday party and you're far from the house, there's only one place you can go to study. I went to the Get and Go. Some of y'all don't even know what that is, but that's where I went. And I said, God, why am I at the Get and Go? I may not even have power to plug up my laptop and do that. You know, it's a strange place to pray and to try and seek your face. But that's what I did, because I would have lost an hour of study had I went all the way back home and then back out to get the kids. So I said, I'm going to go there. And I went there. There was plenty of other places I could have gone. Could have gone to Starbucks and been, you know, real dignified like most people are. But I went to the Get and Go because they got good hot dogs. Amen. All right, preacher. That's I got the church moving now. Amen. I'm talking about hot dogs, get y'all excited. Let me talk about the Holy Ghost to get you excited. We'll be having something going on. Amen. Some of you are so entrenched in your sin. I met a young man last night, just got out of jail. His name's Jerry. I want y'all to pray for him. Just got out of jail last night. He was hooked on all kinds of drugs, hooked on heroin, got picked up 2 months ago, and then they let him go last night in the cold of the night. Just let him go. He's so entrenched in his sin. And I talked to him. I said, what's going on with you? He asked me. He said, I see you're studying there. I see I have my Bible laid out, have my notes and all this stuff. And he looks over at me. He says, I see you're studying there. Do you know a church around here that can help me? Do you know a church that can help me? I'm homeless. And I said, well, I'm actually not from here. I'm from Knoxville. And anyways, we had a conversation. And he told me he had just got released from jail the night prior in the freezing cold, friend. I tell you what, the jail, let me get off this hobby horse real quick, but the jail system in America, we might as well trash that and go back to public beatings. The Bible says a stick is for the back of a fool, amen? The book of Proverbs says that. I tell you what, it's a lot more embarrassing to get beat in public in front of your peers than to go off into jail and play the tough guy, amen? It's a whole lot more embarrassing to get your backside laid open by a rod. The rod is for fools, amen? It's a whole lot more embarrassing to have that happen than to go to jail and get 3 squares for however long you go there for, amen? We need to reform that system, but that's not what we're here to do today. We're here to reform Temple Baptist Church, amen? What we need to do is we need to see ourselves in his state. He said, I can't do it. I can't kick it. I can't kick this. I need help. He said, I can't do it. And the fact of the matter is, he said, the last time I tried, I didn't even want to. I didn't even want to. Some of you don't want to get out of your sin. Some of you love your sin. Some of you are so happy and content with your sin. But I tell you, the Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's going to come a day when you reap what you've sown. Be sure your sin will find you out. I can testify to that. Your sin will find you out, church. You better be wary of what you're doing. You better be wary of where you're going, men. You better be wary of what you're looking at. Women, you better be wary of what you're looking at, what you're doing. Those secret private places that you get in, that sin that you do, that gossiping, that murmuring, that pornography, whatever it is, you better cry out to God. Say, God, I can't break it. I can't cut it. I can't let loose of the drugs. They won't let loose of me. God, I need you to break every chain. Amen. That's what we need. He's a chain breaking God, and he can do it for you, friend. He can do it for you. You say, well, you're talking to sinners. I'm talking to saints. I'm talking about people who are bought by the blood, who got sin in their life, and they ain't dealing with it. And you don't like church no more. Church is just what you do. It's not where you are. It's not who you are. You are the church. You are the church. It's just what you do, though. It's your facade. You need to get rid of that, friend. I tell you what, you're so entrenched in your sin, you won't budge. Some of you think you're too old. Some of you think you're too old and you're ready to pass the torch. You're tired. I mean, you're tired. You're just worn out. You're old and you're tired. You're worn out. I'm not picking on you, but I'm saying when you get old, I hear you get tired. You get worn out. You don't just, you know, you're not like a battery charging your whole life. You're a battery depleting your whole life. And that's the way it is. You're tired and you say you're too old and you're too tired. You can't do nothing for God. You can pray. Amen. Y'all heard the story about that woman who was crippled or whatever was going on with her. And she said, I got nothing to do but look at the phone book and go through and pray over every house. Pray over every name in the phone book or call every name in the phone book and tell them about Jesus. That's what she did. You can do something for God. Amen. You can do something for God. You can tell some of these young people about what it used to be like when revival would break out. You can tell some of these young people about what it used to be like when the altars were bowed down with the weight of the saints on them. You can tell some people what it used to be like when the Holy Spirit moved freely in the church of God. Amen. That's what we need. That's what we need. God hasn't left you here just to observe, those of you who are elderly saints. God's left you here to preserve. He didn't leave you here. Let me say it again. He didn't leave you here just to observe. He left you here to preserve. Amen. We need to do that. We need to share those stories about what's gone on before. And then some of you, I'm talking to saints now. I'm not talking to just that low down, dirty, rotten sinner. I'll get to them in just a minute. I'm talking to saints. Some of you are at the end of your rope. Some of you are fed up. You're done with life. Some of you are contemplating suicide, even this very moment. Some of you are fed up. You've had your sin problem. You've had your depression. You've had your anxiety. You've had all these things crushing you. The weight of all of this stuff, the byproduct of sin in the world, crushing you, and you can't help it. You can't overcome it. You can't get victory. And you're just ready to give up. Some of you are ready to hang yourself from a rope. Some of you are ready to cut your wrist. Some of you are ready to do the most awful things you can imagine to yourselves. I tell you, friend, you can get help now. Amen. You can get help now. Amen. Some of you are in a precarious position. I ain't trying to push you over the edge. I'm trying to draw you back, friend. If you're walking towards a cliff, I want to warn you. Turn around, friend. There's help in Jesus Christ. You're so fed up. Some of you are so fed up with your ego. You're so puffed up and you're so proud and you know it and you want to get rid of that. You're the king of your own heart. You're the king of your own life and you're tired of that tyrant running your life. You're tired of self running your life and you want the Lord Jesus Christ back on the throne. That's what you need. That's what you need. If you'll update who's on your throne, he'll update your attitude. Amen. If you go ahead and change who's on the throne of your heart, you'll have an attitude change. Look up, friend. Look up here. I'm not talking about looking at me. I'm talking about looking up to God. That's what you need. That's what you need. Sinner, you're lost and you're dying. You're going to hell. You need to look to God. Look to Jesus. Consider your ways, friend. Consider your ways. You need to look up. If you're broken, you're right where you need to be, though. Some of you, I hope this broke you. Some of this, I hope it crushed you. Some of this, I hope this old mean preacher has crushed you under the weight of the preaching. The Word of God has crushed you. It's broken you down. You see, yeah, I'm bored with church. You see, yeah, I'm bragging about church. Yeah, I'm prideful about church. You see, yeah, I'm entrenched in my sin. You see, yeah, you can admit it. Now, I'm not telling you this so you can tell me. I'm telling you this so you'll have the courage to tell God. The wherewithal to tell God. You don't come to me with your problems. Don't come to the preacher with your problems. Go to God with your problems. Amen. He can solve them. He can solve them. If you're bored, you need to get broken. If you're bragging, you need to get broken. If you're boastful, you need to get broken. That's the answer to your problem. You need to be broken. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Some of you need a chance to get broken. Then what, preacher? Then what? What do we do after we're broken? What do? You look up. Amen. You look up. Some of you need to get bowed down because your head's so high. Some of you need to get broken so that you have the opportunity to look up. You've been looking up this whole time, but you've been looking up and down your nose. You don't need to do that. You need to look up to your Maker. That's who you need to look up to. You need to get down on your knees so that you can look up. He said that. That old David, that old Testament prophet, priest, and king in Psalm chapter 121. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's who we need in our heart, friend. That's who we need moving freely in this church. We need Jehovah God. We don't need some kind of mamby-pamby God who just is begging us and crying out for us to do what's right. We need a God who's solid, who's sovereign, who achieves His goals, who does what He pleases. That's what we need. We need a God we can look to who we know is the Maker of heaven and earth. Some of you got an idol created in your mind and God will do what you want and that's all He'll do. Some of you got an idol created in your mind and you're serving a false god. You're born again, but you've exchanged the image of the true God for some idol in your mind. What a thing. Friend, I've been there. I've been born again and serving an idol, somebody, a God who I created in my mind all of a sudden out of nowhere. And the Lord was rebuking me for it. I tell you what, and if He ain't been rebuking you, He's rebuking you now. If He wasn't rebuking you before you got here, He's rebuking you now. Some of you have an idol. You have a God in your mind that allows you to sin the way you want to sin. And He's all right with it. You just first John 1:9 it. Confess our faults. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of you go into sinning in your first John 1:9 before you even get there. That's how we are, ain't it? We go ahead and we plan our sins out and then we get in them and we first John 1:9 it. That ain't the kind of life that He wants for us, church. Christian friend, that ain't the kind of life that you need to live. You need to live a life where you're fleeing from sin. He said, flee from sin. Run from it. Rebuke the devil. Plead the blood on your life. That's what you need, church. We need the blood. We need the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. We need to be broken on the altar of His mercy, crying out to Him. That's what you need, church. Some of you won't do it. Some of you won't do it. You need to be broken over your sin. You need to be broken. We need to be broken from this pulpit, even right now, to the back pew, to the parking lot. We need to be broken, church. Bible says that God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire, church. He's thrice holy. He's separate, separate, separate. That's what He is, church. He's separate from us. But He condescended to low estate in Jesus Christ. So that He's a high priest that's touched with the infirmities that we felt. He's gone through the things we've gone through, church. You say, has He gone through the things we've gone through in 2022? He's gone through worse, church. We ain't been through the worst of it, church. He's been through it all. He can feel all of our infirmities. I tell you what, there's coming a day of great tribulation. There's coming a day, the time of Jacob's trouble, and he'll be able to minister to their infirmities, and it'll be greater than anything we ever face. You say, I've been through some rough stuff. There's some rough stuff to come, church. There's not for us, but for the world who's left here when God comes back and takes out His bride. We need to get close to God. We need to get close to that consuming fire. He's holy, but Isaiah the prophet said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me." Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Some of you ain't got any mercy in your life, but God's extending mercy today. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. That's what we need to do. We need to return unto God and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Say, I can't get close to God. You don't know what I'm in, church. You don't know what I'm in, preacher. You don't know the sin that I've been dabbling in. You don't know, some of you are dabbling in things, spiritual things that you ought to get away from. Some of you are engaging in things that you ought to just stay far away from. Some of you are sitting on YouTube and watching all kinds of garbage and religiosity, and you're just getting all swelled up, and you're a bunch of fools. You're a bunch of fools. You're getting foolish now. You're getting to acting like the world, and you need to get away from it. Some of you are overwhelmed by your sin. You need to get away from it. You need to get under the God of the Word. That's what you need. You need to get under the Word of God so the God of Word can get you under grace. You need to be in that shelter of His arms. You can't out-sin the mercy of God, friend. You can't out-sin the mercy of God, but you can sin yourself out of fellowship with God. That's where you're at right now, some of you. You're out of fellowship with God and you know it. Repent! Repent! Run from it! Run from your sin! Run from your lust! Run from your lying, your blaspheming, whatever it is. Run from your adultery. Run from it, church. If you won't get up on your feet, get up in your heart. Run from it, church. You need a mirror. That's what we need, preacher. That's what we need, church. We need a mirror. We need a mirror. We need the gospel. We don't just need a mirror. We need to be able to see ourselves for who we are, but we need the gospel to see who God is. We need the gospel to see Jesus Christ. Prophet Haggai tells us how to get God's work done. The prophet Haggai tells us how to get something done for God. Prophet Haggai tells us how to get our act together and do something right for God. Are you ready? Are you ready to get right for God? Here's what he says. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come that the that the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, you're not worried about God's house, you're worried about your house. Prophet Haggai is dealing with Israel, and Israel, oh, they're in their tents and they're okay and everything's just fine, but there ain't no house of God established. There ain't no place of worship established. There ain't no place devoted to God. There's no holy place. What do you got? You got a holy place? Is this a holy place for the body of Christ to assemble? I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the assembling of the saints. Or are we just a bunch of dead people coming in here? We're just a bunch of sinners who got saved by grace, but we're living a life like we're dead men. What are you today, church? Are you living life victorious or are you living dead? Prophet Haggai, he tells us how to fix that. He says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways, church. This is your opportunity to consider your ways. Will we once again have the altars full and tears flowing the moment that we feel it? When will we be able to sing that song with real heart? Do you know how it feels to know something's missing? To hear a still, small voice that you just keep dismissing. Do you know how it feels when he troubles your waters? Do you know how it feels when God comes along and the pool is stirred up? Do you know how it feels when Jesus comes up to you and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you remember that time when Jesus came down and he birthed you into the family of God? Where'd your joy go? It's available right now. I'm plowing, church. I'm plowing, church. The preacher's been plowing. The pastor's been plowing. The other preachers have been plowing here. Church, we need something. We don't just need a spring revival. We don't need a spring fling, church. We don't need a summer extravaganza. We don't need a pool party. We don't need this party and that party. We need a revival, church. Do you want it? Do you want it? You're not prospering? That's what was happening to the people of Israel there. He said, the Lord host says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's what we need. We need to glorify God. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it, and it went away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Where are you running? Where do you run to Sunday night? Where do you run to? You say, "Well, the preacher just got his opportunity to come up and beat us up for not coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night." No, it's a real problem, church. It's a real problem. I mean, it's not just a simple thing. I understand that some of you can't make it, but it's a real problem. Are you dedicated to meeting with God's people? I'm not talking about a Sunday show. I'm talking about a Sunday night meeting. I'm talking about a Wednesday night meeting. I'm talking about if the winds of revival blow, are you willing to respond? Are you willing to act? Or do you have to wait till it gets scheduled because you got other things going on in your life? Are they blowing on you today? Is God stirring in your heart? Is He working in your heart? Will Temple Baptist Church consider their ways? Will we all consider our own ways? Will every soul in this house consider our own ways? What is the fruit of revival? The fruit of revival is a heart that is burdened and broken and rejoicing at the glory of God. You want to see your lost loved one saved? Get on fire for God.
Yeah.
You want to see your lost friends saved? Get on fire for God. That's what we need, church. We need something burning down in our bones. We don't need emotionalism. I can tell some of you ain't got any emotion at all today. We don't need feelings. Some of y'all ain't got any feelings today. They're all right, but that ain't everything. We need God, amen. We need God. Will you seek His face today? Will you draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto you? Heavenly Father, I love You. God, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for this church. I pray now, Lord, that You would be exalted, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Lord, I've done what you've burdened me with. Now it's up to the people to respond. God, I pray that they would respond mightily. Not so that I can brag about the response of the message that I preached. Lord, if You could cast me into a gutter and it'd be right. You cast me into hell and it'd be right. But You're merciful. You called me to this now and You've used me. God, I pray that You'd open the hearts of these people. Let this altar fill with people crying out to You, Lord. Not excited about what could be, but excited about who can make something be. Let us rejoice in you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.